Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It is time for the best game in the city of Houston, the state of Texas, the country of America. It is time for Who Said It, where Brendan Rory quotes of what ESPN 97.5, 92.5 personalities have said throughout the week, and we have to guess who said it. The Killer Bees are going toe-to-toe with a caller on our HRNP listener line. Ryan going toe-to-toe with the Killer Bees. Ryan, hello. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are y'all?
Doing very good. What do you think of your chances of defeating the Killer Bees in Who Said It today?
A little bit better than 60%.
Okay, very analytical. James Click would like that. Now, we're switching up how we do this a little bit. Since we are very, very good hosts, the Killer Bees are, we're going to allow the listener to have championship advantage every single time. So, Ryan, who is going toe-to-toe with the Killer Bees, you will be going first every single time. Killer Bees will have to go second. And, of course, no duplicate answers on Who Said It. Ryan, you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right, Brendan, what is question number one?
Quote number one. It's not that I eat a lot of Choco Tacos. It's that now, when I want one, I won't be able to have one.
Can you repeat that again? I could barely hear you.
It's not that I eat a lot of Choco Tacos. It's that now, when I want one, I won't be able to have one.
That could be the Wheelhouse. Or Vanessa and Gallant. I'm going to go with Vanessa.
Okay.
You got an idea on this one, Chief?
Yeah, I do.
I do, too.
I have a pretty good idea. I think Ryan was right there in the Wheelhouse his first suggestion.
Ooh, okay.
No, who on the Wheelhouse do you think would eat the Choco Tacos the most?
Cody.
Pretty confident that it's Cody Stutes.
Okay. Because I got a different opinion because I thought he was on the right track.
Well, who did you think?
But I thought that other than Vanessa, I think that Paul would be that aficionado of, you know what, I don't want to touch my girlish figure, but if I did have the opportunity, yeah. I could go there.
Paul doesn't want the opportunity, though. Paul does not want the opportunity to eat the Choco Taco. Paul cooks up like turkey and peas and carrots corn all the time. The dude eats healthy.
So let's go to our track record recently. You've deferred to me quite a bit,
yeah,
and we've been okay. But I'm going to do the same as a good teammate. I'm going to defer to you.
What's your level of confidence here?
I'd rather not say. I'm just going to defer to you as a good teammate.
I'm over 90%.
Oh, well, then I'm good.
I'm over 90%.
Okay.
Cody Stutes is quote number one.
It's not that I eat a lot of Choco Tacos.
Boom!
Oh.
Now when I want one, I won't be able to have one.
There you go. Cody
nice
Stutes.
Call.
Here we go, bro.
Partner, way to go.
1-0 Killer
yep.
Bees.
You know, Cody Stutes is a very close second for me.
Okay, why is that, Ryan?
I could just either picture in Vanessa or Cody saying it, but I just don't remember the segment.
All right, so Killer Bees up 1-0 on
both
Ryan.
Both upstanding females.
Quote number two.
Number two, I love a good wife beater. For a year and a half when I was a kid, I would only wear wife beaters.
You're up, Ryan.
Go, baby.
To Ryan.
Come on, Ryan. Gonna go with your first choice again?
Paul Gallant. I think Paul Gallant.
How you feeling? I'm not very confident with this one.
I'm gonna go.
You feel good about this? Because I feel like you could go BK here.
See, I do.
I feel
I do
like
too.
You could go
That's
LZ
what I was gonna
here.
Say. No, I don't see LZ. I see
Granato. Definitely not.
No, I see Granato's would have to be a Gucci, and I don't think they make those.
Jake
those
doesn't know what a wife beater is.
No,
doesn't know what a wife is.
No, I would go. I think BK seems to fit. If we can't go with Ryan's choice, I think BK is the logical selection.
Yeah, I'm good with BK on this one, with quote two. Brendan.
Block of the century.
I love a good wife beater, though.
Whoa.
But for a year and a half, I would only wear wife beaters, and there are photos to prove it.
Ryan said Paul, though, right? Ryan said Paul, though.
So
okay, good. So we're still
lose.
1-0. Yeah. I did not see that coming. I was blindsided by that one. Yeah. I was blindsided. By Vanessa being quote number two. All right, quote number three, Brendan.
If the Astros make a deal and nobody from ESPN reports it, did it really happen?
Can you repeat it one more time?
If the Astros make a deal and nobody from ESPN reports it, did it really happen?
Man. What's the first part again? Sorry, y'all cutting up.
That's okay. That's all right.
If the Astros make a deal and nobody from ESPN reports it, did it really happen?
Oh, I get it. Okay. It sounds like very sarcastic.
No, we believe in Jeff Passan here. Come on.
I'm going to go with BK on this one.
Oh, man.
That's Blanker's, where I was going.
Blanker's lipped to me silently, and I read his lips, that BK was the answer there. So we got to go somebody that's not Brad Kellner. He texts in all the time, by the way.
But if they are snarky towards ESPN,
yeah,
it could only be one guy.
Oh, Granato?
It could be LZ, because LZ has had a personal battle with poor man's Joel Osteen, Jeff Passan.
Yeah. I feel like we should go the bench here. I feel like it needs to be somebody on the bench. Do you feel more confident in Lance than Granato?
I think John, he likes to ride the company line a little bit, but I don't think he would push it as far.
But has Lance been put in his place?
Oh no! He still hasn't held back. Right, he's still free to give his opinion.
Let's go with Lance for quote number three.
If the Astros make a deal, nobody
PC.
From ESPN reports it to them.
Oh,
PC. Okay. All right, that's fine. We're playing defense here, the Killer Bees. So 1-0, Killer Bees lead Ryan. On to quote number four. Of course, Ryan going first. Listen up, quote number four.
If anybody is picking a gorilla in this fight, I encourage you to do some grizzly bear research.
Oh, I know this is the wheelhouse.
How do you know, Ryan?
I'm
going to
go with Cody Stoops.
You went Stoots?
Yeah.
You went Stoots.
That to me sounds like a BK quote.
Okay.
I don't disagree that it's a wheelhouse thing to say, but like somebody that seems like BK's vernacular. That feels like his sitting structure. That feels like his cadence to me.
Like he kind of knows because he's a little bit more well-versed than most on that.
And also like a pretty good pun, right? Like, you know, to have the pun there too. Yep. Like
which is big on, right?
Yeah, yep. Yeah. You feel good about BK?
With ever parenting a child, he is the dad joker. So yeah, I can see that.
Let's go Brad Kellner.
No, if anybody's picking the gorilla in this fight, I encourage you to do some grizzly bear research.
Ryan evened it up with us.
Yeah.
Ryan tied the Killer Bees, and he's jacked. He's hype. All right, 1-1, quote number five, all of the marbles for this one, Ryan. Of course, you're going first. Here's question number five.
To really get good as a chess player, build some character by having robots break your fingers.
Oh, man.
To really get good as a chess player, build some character by having robots break your fingers.
Oh, man. It could be Wilhelm, but I'm thinking bench. I'm going to go with Lance Z on this one.
Okay. This is a hard one. I can see several different people saying this.
I see bench, but I hear Johnny G.
Really?
And because of the Italian and the mafia instinct of breaking fingers.
Oh, I didn't think about it. Can you repeat quote number five one time, Brendan?
To get really good as a chess player, build some character by having robots break your fingers.
Having robots break your fingers. See, I'm leaning Paul here. What's your level of confidence? I feel like that's a Paul thing. Like, you're talking about chess, you're talking about robots. Paul has the versatility to go literally any way. To have that, like, you know, from chess, robots breaking your fingers.
I don't know that I have
a level of sci-fi guy.
Either way, so I'm fine if you just want to call it. Yeah, my just first instinct, and I told you why, was I thought that it might be a Granato.
You think Granato would talk about robots, though?
Oh, yeah. I think he's still up on modern stuff, and I think that, again, and he still gets back to his roots by breaking fingers.
I believe that part. The robots is my hang-up.
Okay, then go.
What did Ryan said? Who'd Ryan say? I already forgot. He said Lance Zierlein.
Zierlein.
Yeah, he said Zierlein. Man, this is it. Give me your level of confidence here, because I'm like at a 50.
I really don't have it.
So you rather go Paul?
I'd rather let you call it because I can't tell you that I have I don't have the utmost certainty in either one.
It's a lot of pressure here.
Well, but I've been able to carry that baton
for you.
Come on,
Davis Mills.
Yeah, come on, Davis Mills. Step up and make the throw. Stick your neck out, Davis Mills.
Stop insulting me. Let's go Paul.
to really get good as a chess player, you should play some Russia, right? Yeah, build a little character. Make robots break your fingers.
That's what they always call Branham. They always say that guy is great under pressure. He is clutch. In the biggest moments, he will step up. Maybe I should have been Brady.
Now he's Nick
Maybe
Foles.
I should have been Brady.
Now Branham is Nick Foles. He's elevated from Davis Mills to Nick Foles. But the bottom line is the bottom line. Victory!
Ryan, thank you for playing. It was a valiant effort. But again, someone else falling short to the Killer Bees. Have a great weekend, Ryan.
Yes, sir. You too.
Appreciate Ryan. You know what they said
since
about
since we've been paired, have we lost?
We lost once to COVID.
But that was because we were still learning the playbook.
It was a fluke.
Yeah, we were just getting used to the new playbook.
It was like the Music City Miracle, right. Let's be honest. It was a fluke.
They say it takes, you know, a game or two or a season or two to get under your belt to get that playbook.
Yeah, we smashed Stutes in the rematch. We smashed him in the rubber match, and then we smashed a listener last week, and then we smashed Ryan there as well. We're undefeated.
Smashing.
You know what they said about Nick Foles, though, by the way? So I would say the comparison there.
Big Richard?
Hey, you went there. I was thinking he just wanted the big game. That's the comparison
that I was
talking
about. But his nickname
was
Big Richard. Richard.
I've never heard that. Okay. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. DK Metcalf got a contract extension. That, to me, is an example of why I do not want the Texans to go out and trade for a playmaker of the like. So I'm going to have a little bit of a celebration this evening now that the Killer Bees again are on this massive roll and who said it. And I'm going to have some gentle Ben this evening. I haven't decided between the vodka, the gin, and the bourbon. I'll probably decide later. I might even play some gentle Ben roulette. Let gentle Ben roulette decide for me. But vodka, gin, bourbon, all in the rotation for me. They're the local Texas brand I've been telling you about that does it better than anybody else in the market. Gentle Ben, a line of ultra-premium Texas spirits using their state-of-the-art, innovative, Presedo craft technology. Better in purity, better in aroma, better in taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Ben, unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of Gentle Ben, compare it to your brand, and you're never going back. Ever since I did it when Ricky Ford had me out to the tasting room, I've been a Gentle Ben man now. Smooth, it is clean, it eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. Don't suffer through your drink. Enjoy it, you will, with Gentle Ben. You can find Gentle Ben Vodka and Gin at Total Wine and Specs, also online at gentleben.com. You can even check it out tonight if you're going to the Astros game. You're sitting in the Diamond Club. Gentle Ben now inside the Diamond Club. On your way home in Beaumont, Deb's Liquor carrying Gentle Ben Vodka and Gin. On your way home in Pearland, Broadway Liquor carrying Gentle Ben Vodka and Gin. Also head out to the Tasting Room in Alvin. Try that bourbon, award-winning bourbon exclusive to the Tasting Room. Also, if you're looking for some work, Gentle Ben looking for brand ambassadors. So if you or anyone you know is interested, head over to the website, gentleben.com. Gentle Ben, the union of tradition and invention.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN at 92.5. A lot of people texting us in. They're saying that we had the deck stacked against the...
Timeout.
Against Ryan.
How did we have the deck stacked when we actually made other provisions so that they even had a better chance of winning by going second every single freaking time and admitting that there were several times we would have taken who they took?
Joel isn't going to like this, but I could be the only one to stack the deck, and I actively root against you guys.
You root against us?
Yes, I do.
Even though we're your puppeteers. How could you root against your own puppeteers? Yes.
I want to see the listeners succeed. You guys have won enough. I don't need to keep winning.
I have won.
All we do is
as
win.
A team, we continue to win.
Yeah. 3364 says two heads are better than one. 8788 says something I'm not going to read over the air. 713-780-ESPN. And then Ryan already texting in saying, I want a rematch. Buzz, Ryan. And he put a trophy emoji. I hope he's handing that trophy emoji over to us as we... Well, I shouldn't say we embarrassed you, Ryan, because we won by one. We won with a walk-off in the bottom of the ninth.
I'm pretty sure that you got your one and only shot, Ryan. Don't think that's going to be a continuous thing.
Ryan gave us a good game. Who knows? Maybe down the road, you never know.
Better or worse than Stutes?
Stutes beat us once, if we're being fair.
Okay, yeah.
But we embarrassed him in the rematch and then in the trilogy. We beat him so bad in the rematch and the trilogy that we retired him. We put him out of his misery when it comes to who said it. We were talking earlier about the two positions that you want. We'll get into the DK Metcalf thing in just a second. Two positions that you want for the Houston Astros. You can only pick two. A couple people texting in. Left field, center field. Mullins, he said Soto. Let's get rid of the Soto part of it. But left field, center field, I don't really see the Astros trading for more than one outfielder. James Click, and look, Dusty Baker has said that Michael Brantley is not swinging yet. But James Click said over on the cardiac arrest that Michael Brantley's not a long-term injury. Like, take that for what it's worth, I guess. I've heard Click be vague. I've heard Click be broad. I've heard Click not be, like, totally honest. But I've never heard Click say it's not a long-term thing, and then it's a long-term thing.
Yeah, look, I think the one thing that I've heard is just that it's not season-ending. But other than that, I haven't heard anywhere near a timetable. I haven't heard any updates that made me think that he was anywhere near close to coming back. And I also think, to the people that were saying, I think you need more than one batter, more than one outfielder, that's a pipe dream. Because of the fact that however you wish to judge their farm system, they have to be very calculated with whatever prospects they're willing to give up. I just don't know that they have enough to be able to give up. I mean, you're going to have to delve into your major league roster probably if you're going to get two bats and if you're going to even consider any other pitching.
I think it depends on who they are. If you get two rentals, I think you can do it. If it's two rentals, because rentals are
how much does that help? I mean, you hope it helps your team immensely.
If it's
then.
Josh Bell and Wilson Contreras,
that's pretty good.
Yeah,
but then I'm still selfishly wanting pitching.
Yeah, yeah. I think you can find relief pitching without giving up a whole lot. To be honest with you, like this next text talks about the Cubs 5506. Could they get both David Robertson and Ian Happ without giving up any players on the 40-man? Honestly, I think that they can. Let's keep in mind that Hunter Brown's not on the 40-man roster. Let's keep in mind, I don't believe Pedro Leon's on the 40-man roster either. Like, those two can get a lot more than even Ian Happ and David Robertson, but now you're mortgaging the future to an extent.
And I also think that as it relates to Contreras and Robertson, competition's going to mean something, right? If the Cubs were a year ago and not everybody was knocking on the Cubs' door or trying to think that any of those guys were available or that those were guys that they wanted based on other guys that were available, then I think you could possibly get both of those guys the way that you're referring to it. But I think Contreras is a hot commodity right now. Teams have talked about the fact they want to get in on the bidding on that. The Yankees, because of King's injury in their bullpen, and because it's a very, very familiar name that they know very well in Robertson, have become the leaders to try and get him to add to their bullpen because they desperately need someone in their pen. They're not like the Astros looking to kind of upgrade. They know they have needs, like real true needs that they have to address in their bullpen. And so I think that with competition, you might want to pull yourself out rather than try and overpay to get some of those guys.
713-780-ESPN, 3581. How could starting pitching and relief pitching not be 1-1 in positions that the Astros want? Blanker said relief pitching. Blanker, one of the two for Joel was relief pitching. Why I didn't go relief pitching was because the Astros statistically have the best bullpen ERA in all of baseball. They have four dudes right now that you can count on, with Presley, with Neris, with Montero, with Stanek. And then the starting pitching has been very good, too. You're talking about trading from a surplus of your starting pitching. If anything has not been up to par for a World Series team, it's been the offense. DK Metcalf signed a contract yesterday. Did you see some of the numbers on this?
I did.
$72 million. 3 years. I think it's the largest guarantee for DK Metcalf. And I understand Seattle's perspective of this, if I'm being completely honest with you, because why are you going to let a player basically have a chance to walk for free or not play for you? Like, well, go ahead.
Okay, no, I would push back on that and say I don't understand it because the rest of their roster isn't screaming, got to keep this guy so that we can stay at this level and go chase bigger dreams. That roster and what they've done recently screams to me that they are just starting a rebuild.
Right.
So then why do you want to keep this guy in the fold for that amount of money, for that length of time, when the rest of the roster screams, we don't need him whether he's there or not. We're not going to win many games.
Right. It's the whole Duke Snyder. We lost 100 games with him. We could lose 100 games without him. But you're also not going to let a piece that you could get a really good return for at some point just walk out the door. I don't think the Seahawks are currently accepting their state in the NFL where they're like this rebuilding team. I disagree. I think they're one of the worst teams in the NFL.
Look at who they got at quarterback.
Exactly. Like, I don't expect them to win many games. But even then, if you're the Houston Texans and you currently have DK Metcalf on this roster, you're going to pay him before you let him leave in free agency. Now, I think that Seattle at some point in these 3 years is eventually going to flip DK Metcalf, much like we saw with Tyreek Hill, much like we saw with Devontae Adams. I don't think DK Metcalf's going to be a Seahawk for all 3 years of this deal. But you're right. Like, the point that, okay, well, what is Seattle really gaining with DK Metcalf? Okay, maybe a win, maybe a couple more wins a year, still out of the playoffs. But this, to me, is the example of why, if I'm the Houston Texans currently, because if you go listen to other places, you take a trip down the highway to hell, they're like, oh, you got to aggressively attack a playmaker to the likes of a DK Metcalf. The difference between Seattle and Houston is you are sending draft capital for a DK Metcalf and then paying him this money,
right.
$72 million for 3 years. So where it makes sense for me in Seattle, you don't want a great player to walk out of the door for free. Where it does not make sense to me if I'm the Houston Texans, DK Metcalf improves this team 2 wins. Now you're looking at 7 or 8. And then you're also looking at a spot where it's only a 3-year deal. So, like, what is the purpose? Yeah. What are you really doing here?
That's why I'm saying when I'm looking at it from Seattle's perspective, it's not let him walk out the door for nothing or pay the man and lock him up.
Right.
That third option is trade him, and you still would have suitors right now to this day that would make a trade with you right now because they know who they're getting, they know what quality he brings immediately to their roster, and they're willing to give you draft picks because they don't mean as much to a team that's established and as good as some of the teams that still need a quality one. So I think that from a Texans perspective, it doesn't make any sense to go out and trade for the guy. It doesn't make any sense but to keep doing what you're doing the way you're doing it so that we see all this developmental growth by all these young players at the same time. Then you can make the decisions of who stays, who goes, and how much you're paying any and all of those guys because the team's all kind of right on the same level, ready to take the next steps together. You don't do this if you're Seattle because you don't have any – look, all your defense is either retired, traded away, or you know, not even anywhere near the caliber it once was when you were the Legion of Boom. Russ is gone, and your two quarterbacks that are competing for the starting job wouldn't be backups on any other team in this league, or maybe that's the best they could be. And your running back room is depleted. Your receivers are older other than DK Metcalf. Your offensive line is the same, older, and not anyone that – and no one's writing home about them. So just because you go out and commit to one guy, does that mean so you don't have to admit that you're rebuilding?
Yeah.
It makes zero sense to me if you're the Seahawks.
Well, I don't think that he's going to live in Seattle for the next 3 years.
I'd agree with I think sooner rather than later, you should have dumped out so you could get more picks.
But also think about it, too, like the value of DK Metcalf. Right now he's having a hold-in because he showed up to training camp, but he wasn't practicing until he got a new deal. Like, if you have a receiver in that spot, now you're kind of selling low on DK Metcalf. If you're looking at, okay, you have 3 years to trade DK Metcalf, right, who thanks to signed the biggest bonus for a receiver ever. So you have DK Metcalf for the next 3 years. I think it's a 3-year window to trade DK Metcalf. But his lowest values right now when he's demanding a trade, because why if you're Green Bay, why if you're a team that needs a wide receiver, are you going to just throw the kitchen sink at DK Metcalf, a dude that's holding in and wants a new contract? Now, when you could, well, he would really be attractive, how about November 2nd, the trade deadline? There's a team that desperately needs a wide receiver. Now you have them over a barrel. Offseason, we saw Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill this offseason, kind of early in the offseason. Teams are going out of their way to give you
a first rounder. So unlike NBA, once you sign the guy to this deal, there's no like great period where you can't trade him?
There probably is. I don't know what it is.
Because I'm not familiar with
it. But I know it's not the deadline. But I know saying, that at the deadline, they could trade him.
Because ideally, and it's not as bad as if you're a quarterback, but offensively, you'd like a guy in camp so that they could start learning the playbook and understanding and working on timing with their quarterback and such. But I'm with you. Look, I don't believe he'll see this contract to fruition with Seattle. I believe that they should move on from him. I believe that Green Bay right now would probably throw multiple first-round picks and other things at Seattle. I think that John Schneider's a guy that used to work in Green Bay and still has relationships in Green Bay. But I would think that those are discussions to be had about how much are you going to pay him? What are you going to put on his contract to get him done and get him practicing? Because I need to know that so that I know what I'm going to have to be making room for. Because I think there's too many teams that still would love to have DK Metcalf. Mm-hmm. And it's too advantageous of a position for Seattle to trade him rather than keep him.
Yeah, I think that at some point he's going to get traded. But from like a Houston Texans perspective, like I'm seeing this deal, which is a lot of money. And look, I'm not even saying that he's not worth it because DK Metcalf is a good football player. But paying him all this money, like what is Seattle really gaining because you only have DK Metcalf and let's say an average at best quarterback, still not a playoff team. You have Davis Mills, who right now is probably an average quarterback. You give him a weapon like people want in DK Metcalf. What are the Texans at that point? They're 7-10. You're paying a dude the most guaranteed money ever, $72 million. It's not even long term. It's for 3 years to improve you a win or two. And then that's not even the draft capital on top of that.
Yeah, I just think it makes too much sense for him to be elsewhere, and it makes too much sense from a Seattle perspective. Look, I realize it that they don't want that bad look. They've fought it more than maybe anybody, including the Texans, in terms of admitting they're rebuilding. But if the difference is, hey, guess what? We got DK Metcalf, and damn it, he was open 16 times in that game. Mm-hmm. But Drew Lock was only able to get him the ball twice. What the hell good does it do to have him be a member of the Seahawks when in turn I could say, hey, we had this great young receiver in DK Metcalf, because I'm not going to sell him short. The physicality of his body, coupled with the speed that we saw, the way he closed on that pick last year, if you've never seen him play in any other situation, you realize the combination of size and strength that he brings to the table should make all general managers of good teams salivate, going, that guy I need.
Yep. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. You've probably noticed this. The Mega Millions are up to $1.1 billion with a B. Are you going to be playing, and if you won the Mega Millions, what would be your splurge? Where are you going nuts with all that extra income? 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Mega Millions are at $1.1 billion. You said Lisa already went out and bought some tickets?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How much? How much she get?
I don't know how many she bought, and that's probably a good thing, because it would probably be pissed me off for how much she spends on this chance, like a needle in a haystack chance to win it. But
yeah.
It would be great if she hit it and we won it, but... Yeah, she's always big on these things, and I'd rather take gambles different ways. Like, I feel more comfortable betting on sports and taking little wins and little losses than worried about trying to win this thing.
I don't usually play the lotto. When is the next drawing? Is
tonight,
it
tonight? Tonight.
So I got to go on the way home, get some, like, can I stop? I can just stop at the gas station, right?
Yep.
Like, I can be at the and you can do the gas station.
And I don't like that, but most people just do the pick-ems where you just let the machine pick
you. Pick the numbers?
Sometimes I feel like if I'm going to go all the way see this thing through, I'm going to pick numbers that mean something to me.
You think that's going to affect it at all?
I don't know, but sometimes when you see the numbers on the news, then I look at her and I go, see, that was my number in college. That was this. That was that. That's what we should have done.
Yeah. See, I don't play very often, but now that all of a sudden it's $1 billion, I'm going to get tickets on the way home. Like, I'm going to. So, like, do you play when it gets like this? The answer to that question is yes, yep. I'm going to. Mm-hmm. I think I'll spend $10. I think I'm going to do $10 on the...
We normally do 20.
I'm going to go, yeah, maybe 20. Maybe my wife wants to throw in an extra 10, too. We'll see. Brendan, are you going to participate?
So, I like to, and this is going to sound so lazy, but it's the truth. I don't know if I will or not, because I don't really feel like stopping at a gas station.
You can't deliver it from Uber Eats?
Yeah. Look, I mean, can you...
Why can't I buy it online?
Can you not Uber Eat that? You can Uber Eat anything nowadays. Have you seen that commercial?
I probably could. I'm not paying for an Uber Eats of a...
There's not a
lotto ticket. I just don't feel like stopping and going to the gas station.
There's not a gas station on the way home?
Oh, no. There's multiple gas stations.
Look at that opportunity cost, though, that you're passing by. $1.1 billion.
The epitome of laziness.
Yeah. You have opportunity cost here of $1.1 billion, dollars, and you're not going to because you don't want to.
I probably will, but I just...
How much are you going to spend if you do?
Probably $10.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with $10.
$10 is the exact number I had in mind. It's a small enough amount that I don't really care when I lose it.
Yeah.
But you got to have more than one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with $10, I think. Now, if we win... If we win, and Brendan, I think we just talked him into it, the opportunity cost is too great. Mm-hmm. What would be your most over-the-top luxury buy? 713-780-ESPN. What would you buy when you win the Mega Billions tonight?
Boy. A golf membership somewhere.
That's it?
I don't know that. I mean, I think that, look, it would be outstanding. I think that I would love to play golf the rest of my life and just realize that, you know, my family would be taken care of and everything, you know, financially would be completely wiped off the ledger. And that's the ultimate amount of happiness for me. I don't want to go overboard. Maybe, you know, a vacation where the kids can do whatever they want and I can golf and everybody can relax.
My life becomes vacation.
No question. I know. No question. That's what I'm saying. If I got the right golf membership and a house on it, maybe that would be the key. Sell our house and move to whatever golf course we get to. But as long as I could just be happy and hit golf balls and my family set, I'm good.
I was listening to Joel, and it sounded like he won like $1,000.
Not a million. Depending on which course I'm talking about. No, not so much. But
now, to me, like the over-the-top purchase, like would you keep working?
Maybe short term. I think short term, but I wouldn't be definitely as invested in it.
I think I would still work. I think I would still
work.
Short term, yeah. Yeah, the insurance.
I'd do this for sure.
Yeah, I would do this if I won the 1.1. I'd keep the play-by-play stuff.
Like, unless
I
got in the way of my tee times after a while, then I'd be a little bit annoyed.
You might have to buy out a time slot.
Yeah, exactly. But I think I could do that.
You might have
I'd have
to
the
buy
means
out,
to be able to do that.
You might have to buy out certain time slots. Now, my one like quirky purchase that I would have, because like, I'd probably get like a decent car. I'd probably upgrade the home slightly. I don't think I would go over the top, except for like the one thing where like snotty rich people have that I would just kill for. Like I want more than anything else. I want a personal chef. I want somebody that can just be the personal chef because I like to eat healthy, but I'm too lazy and tired to always cook healthy, right?
It's a good call.
So I get lazy and stop by, you know, McDonald's and munch on the delicious French fries or you just eat poorly. But if you have a personal chef, one, everything's going to taste good. You always have food around. Like they're not going to let you go, you know, they're not going to let you go hungry. It's going to be healthy. You're going to work on your body. It's good for a healthy lifestyle, all of that. Give me a personal chef.
I thought you were going to go trainer.
See,
because then with the personal chef, no matter what they feed you, you got someone that would intentionally bust your ass so that you didn't gain weight.
I mean, you could go both ways where like they're two in one. But to me, like I can work out on my own. But to me, it's like the personal chef aspect. Like I can work out easier
than I can
cook.
It's a great call, especially dealing with my predicament with married to a vegan and with all the and with kids that have different likes and options. I think that would be outstanding because then I knew that even if I wanted a snack. That there would be something that tasted good, no matter if it was healthy or not.
They're going to prepare things for you. You can tell them what to prepare, what you like. You can go healthy. You can go non-healthy. Mine is a personal chef. What is yours? 713-780-ESPN.
Plus someone was going to go the McGrady route and just be the first one to have an airplane.
Somebody's distracting Brendan in there, but Brendan said pre-show in our production meeting that he would go with the Peach. He would go with the private jet.
Yeah.
He would go with the private jet, which would be awesome to have. Go anywhere you want, whenever you want. Although with gas prices these days.
I was looking into it. You could absolutely. The lump sum is like close to $700 million. You could afford a private jet and the costs of them.
$700 million when you're getting $1.1 billion, though? This is not sustainable. This is not sustainable.
A private jet?
You said $700 million?
No. That's the lump sum for the billion.
Oh.
You could buy a private jet.
After taxes?
Yeah, okay. I knew the numbers were fishy there. It was my mistake.
You could buy a private jet for as little, and I'd probably go nicer than this, but as little as like $3 million.
How often do you think you'd use it? Because a lot of people have found out, including, I believe, T-Mac, that it's a lot cheaper to just get a private plane and rent it out for when you need it than it is to like upkeep it and pay a pilot and do the things you need when you buy a plane.
You're probably right. That's probably more the way I'd go. I could see myself – are you kidding me? I could see myself – flying every 2 weeks.
Yeah. See, if you had a private jet, now it's gonna be an uptick in where you're going and when you're going. Like, you could just go to Vegas for the weekend. You could go down to Miami for the weekend. You could go home to Michigan for the weekend. So that would be a nice luxury to have. But if I had that much money, like, I probably don't want to leave home. Like, I'm carving out a lifestyle for myself where I'd never want to leave my house.
See, and that's where I'm at. That's why I wouldn't buy a plane. Because I think that if I'm just every day's a vacation from that point forward, and I'm comfortable where I'm at. Sure, occasionally we would take trips. The kids are still going to go to school. So, you know, you have to plan around that. So you're not going to be flying all the time. And when you buy the plane, you have to hire a pilot. You have to have a maintenance crew so that it's safe and the upkeep is there to fly it. I just think that it's easier to rent the plane when you need it. And you're not going to travel nearly as much as you think you are when you win this money.
Yeah. What are yours? What would be your luxury if you win the $1.1 billion? Flimsy Cherry saying I'd buy 97.5. I would love to see the direction you would take it in, Flimsy. I very much think that you would lead us into a new horizon.
You already said a late night tennis show.
I have a host in mind. Behanan said I would move to Costa Rica and disappear. That would be pretty cool to just go to Costa Rica, but I want to keep working. Mr. Brostash, I would buy the LA Chargers and turn them into a juggernaut. See, that's one of the things, too. Like, it'd be pretty cool to own a sports team. It'd be pretty cool to own a sports team.
And the profitability is really good in some of these sports.
What do you mean?
Sports team with only $770 million?
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't do that.
You're going to have to buy a piece.
Yeah.
You're in an investment group.
All right, I'll go ahead and eat that L because you're right. E says, I'm taking my ex back to court. You do need a lot of money to fight the legal battles these days. Get to some of these texts. A lot of people weighing in on this. I'm grabbing my wife, kids, siblings, and their families, and my parents, and I'm moving us all to Hawaii, and I'm buying the whole block in a neighborhood so we can all live near each other in paradise. ABC Eric. That sounds stressful. It sounds stressful, if I'm being honest. 1209, you buy the plane, then rent it out to the people taking your advice. Sounds like a business. Slide into my DMs. 1209. Somebody said a Shelby GT500. Dream car would definitely be in my garage.
Is that what Verlander drives with all the different
No, he just drives a Mustang.
Fords that he gets? Because you know, he gets those, all those, he's into all those limited edition ones.
0170, personal chef, housekeeper, gardener, personal assistant. They take care of all the mundane tasks that take up so much of our time. That sounds awesome. That sounds
and
so
Fuentes
good.
Says, I'd buy the company my ex works for and fire her. Well, that ended well.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I can have my personal assistant stop at the gas station and buy me lottery tickets.
It's not a bad idea. That's a good point.
You just need a personal assistant, period.
Tony,
seriously.
Ooh, Tony from Galveston, listen to this. You can get lotto tickets online. Not much of a point since I have the winner, but here's the but there's official Texas lotto sites.
Okay.
He said, I'll be buying some courtside Rockets season tickets whenever he wins. Some other people said season tickets to all the Houston sports teams. 0170, my most over-the-top purchase would be the services of an attorney who would help me keep the most money from Uncle Sam and all the long-lost family
friends. I would call that a financial advisor that I trust.
Yeah. Somebody says I would buy a massage table. That's signed to Sean Watson. I'd pay the Californians to go back. Apparently there's an app for the the jackpot, by the way. So, Brendan, I think you might just download the app and can do all of this.
Already doing it.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. We'll ask for the Wheelhouse Man. What would be their splurges and all of that? We'll also...
Two-thirds again today, right?
Yeah, no Asmund.
Yeah, the little fella's still trying to ride roller coasters.
No Asmund today. Anyways, yeah. We'll get their thoughts, too, on the host quarterback comparisons. And who in the American League, other than the Yankees, are you taking seriously? Killer Beast, ESPN, 97.5, ESPN, 92.5.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It is JV Day at Minute Maid Park tonight. Astros look for the second game of the Mariners in the four-game set. Justin Verlander against Robbie Ray, who the Astros have had his number in recent memory. He's the grunter, huh?
God, he grunts a
lot. Robbie Ray's the grunter. So, of course, the Ace of Spades by Motorhead, JV's theme song of the Killer Bees. Cody Stutes is joining us, fresh off the training camp field over at NRG. Outside today, I guess. Mm-hmm. You smell nice, so I think you went home and showered.
I did.
Yeah.
I have not gotten close enough to smell you, but I'll take his word for it.
I'm not scared to admit this. I was feverishly looking around the media scrum of Lovie Smith trying to find you today.
Why?
I wanted to see what you were wearing. I wanted to see what you were wearing.
I wore black shorts, a white fishing shirt, and a bucket hat.
Oh, I saw. The bucket hat. You wear the bucket hat very low. Very low. Like, the brim of the bucket cap's like below the eyebrow, I've noticed.
No, it's right at the eyebrow.
Okay. All right.
Like, the brim of it, it does not go as low as, like, the actual flap.
Okay, so it looks lower than what it really is.
It looks lower than what it actually is.
Okay, that makes sense, because the flap is, like, nose level.
Do you do the Gilligan, where sometimes you turn the flap up?
Depending on what part of, like, where the sun is and where I need to be looking, sometimes I do put the flap up.
Like Jeffrey Leonard, you went flap down and then flap up?
See, I have this weird thing because I have multiple bucket hats, but I bought one of them, like, at a discount, not realizing that it had a logo on it already, and it's a UTSA Roadrunner logo.
And it's how did, like, you not see that?
Well, I just didn't pay, I wasn't paying attention to it. It's $2. $2 bucket hat that was real nice.
I gotcha.
And I was like, oh, man, it's got a Roadrunner logo on it. So I feel like when I wear that one, I'm going to treat it like I'm on a reality TV show. I'm going to put, like, a piece of black electrical tape over the logo. I was like, what are you doing?
Are the observations up on Sports Map yet?
They are. I've been up for quite a while.
Okay, I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. So make sure you're checking that out.
Forgive us.
But check out Stutes' 11 observations, football number, over on Sports Map Houston. We were just talking about the $1.1 billion Mega Millions. Are you playing the Mega Millions tonight? Mega Billion tonight?
I actually went on my way in today, cashed in some of my scratchers to buy some Mega Million tickets.
Well, you're a scratch-off guy, too.
Yeah, I like scratchers.
Okay.
Yeah.
How often do you buy the scratchers?
Probably once or twice a month. If I win big, usually I go back for a little bit more.
What's the most you ever won?
The most, where it felt like the most to me, I was like an 8-year-old kid. My grandma had bought me one, and I won $40. And I thought that was the grandest thing ever. And I was As an adult, I had a hundo one time.
Okay.
I've never won like a big scratcher thing.
My uncle, when I was a kid, and I don't remember the amount, but he had to go to Austin to cash it in. Yeah.
It must be pretty good.
It was a significant number. I think there was a comma.
I think once you get in the thousands, they would very much. I think there's a stretch where you can still go to the stores, but you go some places you go, they're going to have that cash.
We got to go to the safe. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to have that cash. So I think there's a threshold where you got to go to Austin.
Is it hard to believe that Brendan didn't want to participate because it sounded like a whole lot of work to have to go to a store to get the ticket?
Oh, it couldn't be easier.
Yeah, apparently it's
so easy.
Apparently there's an app.
Yeah, I used the app to scan my scratchers to see if I checked it right.
Really? Wow. I didn't even know there was an app that existed. How much are you burning on fire tonight in this Mega Millions?
It's $20.
$20. Okay.
Yeah, us too.
And if whenever you win, what are you buying us?
I'm going to buy the station.
Okay. So I was going to ask you, what would be the one luxury that you would buy?
Oh, no, that'd be what I work on.
What would you buy?
I would buy a professional wrestling promotion. Yeah.
Which one? The WWE? They're looking for a new CEO, I hear.
I would see they hired two.
Yeah. Yeah,
Stephanie McMahon and Nick Khan are the co-CEOs.
Oh, they just brought up the McMahon?
Kept in the family.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
I guess I'd probably try to create one or find a floundering
Dwight
one.
Howard's available if you want to have someone to build around.
That's going to be on the show today.
Okay.
We're going to talk about Dwight's viability as a member of the WWE roster.
So the Stutes Wrestling Promotion, is this like the indies or are you trying to compete with the big boys?
Oh, no. I don't have the money to compete with the big boys, but I'd like to have some pretty significant indie shows making their way around. So of course, I'm going to be the champion.
Build it up.
Oh, you're going to wrestle in it too?
Yeah. I'm going to be the champ. I'll be like Hulk Hogan, I never leave my feet, basically.
Yeah, it's gonna
you would hold on to it longer than you did the Who Said It championship.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
You're going to be the champion.
And I have pictures of you guys. You wouldn't be allowed to come. You're very mean.
Okay.
We're going to heckle you. Would be a face or a heel? Got to be a heel, I guess.
Well, it's my promotion. I'm going to have the championship. It's all going to be about cheering me.
Cody the Brain Heenan. Come on, man.
Did you catch this with Vanessa and Galan earlier? They were comparing every host on this station from 7A to 7P to quarterbacks around the NFL. Paul called you Ryan Tannehill.
Disgusting.
Vanessa called you Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, that one sent me into a bit of an emotional tailspin.
A frenzy?
Sean called you Stafford, too. Why was that one an emotional tailspin? It couldn't be worse than Davis Mills.
I believe Matt Stafford is overrated, so then I had to question if I myself was overrated.
Oh.
I've determined I'm properly.
I thought you didn't want to wear a jersey that looked like someone peed on it.
Well, that too. Okay. I don't think that you're overrated. The Tannehill
ones, I liked Paul's explanation, but you can't make me an Aggie that wanted to go to Texas Tech. Like, come on.
Yeah.
So who would you call them?
Ooh, good question. Good question. Good question.
I said Paul was Gardner Minshew.
I called him Russell Wilson, and apparently he hates Russell Wilson. I had no idea he hated Russell Wilson.
If I was being super literal, I'd pick a quarterback that's on his third job.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And no, that's just a fact of the matter. Paul will tell
you. So he's Carson Wentz?
He'd be Carson Wentz.
Okay.
But I like Paul. He's a good teammate. Carson Wentz is not a good teammate. So that one doesn't fit.
Good point.
So that one doesn't fit.
See, that's why I went Gardner Minshew, because he's not afraid to live in a mobile home for up to a year. He loves all that attention of wearing like Top Gun jackets and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
And he'll go completely off script, and sometimes it'll work and sometimes it won't.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
I would think Paul would push back and hope that he could be one of the actual starters. You know,
well, like, you know, he started in the past. He could start again.
Right, sure.
That's true. I'm just trying to, you know.
That's true.
I didn't pick someone he hates.
I picked somebody that he hated, apparently, which, well, I mean, whatever.
So now, where would you go with Vanessa?
See, we have this set for our show. We're going to talk about it at 5:45.
Oh, okay.
We're also going to find one for Patrick Creighton.
Oh.
If they didn't find one for PC, we're going to find one for Patrick Creighton.
Okay, it's fair.
And we're going to find one for Andrew, our producer on the Wheelhouse.
Oh, yeah, there's one that you should attack.
And then I'm going to fix the Jeremy one.
You're going to fix the Jeremy one?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I was going to ask you something.
Oh, you want to know it ahead of time?
Sure.
Well, it's Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
Is Vanessa?
It's your little tiny hands. And I don't
my
like
hands
you.
Are bigger than yours.
No, they're not.
Whenever we measured our hands the other day, my hands were NFL average.
No, they were.
Let's go.
They were under 9.
My hands are bigger than yours.
I'm dwarfing.
Look at that.
Look at that.
My hands are bigger than Stooch. You saw it live.
I think your thumb had TV a good slash ESPN quarter inch over his.
And everyone will tell you that quarter inch matters.
Okay.
What do you think Stafford's rate ranked?
He's right outside the top 10 for me.
Okay. And you think other people put him in the top 10?
Yeah, he was 7th in Mike Sandow's QB tier article.
I can't remember where the Killer Bees had him. I think he was in our top 10, though. You remember Brendan? He was 7. He was 7. Okay. So, yeah. So, you would consider the Killer Bees overrated Matthew Stafford. If we have 7th, then you think he's
You know how dangerous that overrated word is to me.
Yeah. It's volatile. It's gas on the fire, certainly. Astros Mariners tonight. They beat the Mariners again yesterday after they got swept by the A's. The Yankees are the favorites to win the AL. They're plus
still the nerds still do that?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
What about the nerd stats?
Well, Vegas has currently Astros at 16.1%, Dodgers at 16%, Yankees at 15.7%
for the title.
For the title.
But then the Yankees still have the best odds. Betting?
For the American League?
Yeah, they're plus 180. The Astros are plus 200. Mm. Is there anybody else in the American League that you take seriously?
There's one for me. Who? The Blue Jays. They got good. They got veteran starting pitching. They've got a really, really scary lineup when you play them in a series that if they get hot at the right time with the bats that they have, and you know a guy like George Springer batting leadoff in playoffs, I think the Blue Jays would scare some people.
They're on the outskirts of the Soto conversation, too.
Okay.
Where Soto ends up is going to be interesting. I still claim that he's not going to be traded. Now
I kind of tend to agree with you.
I'm scared of everybody who makes the playoffs. Baseball is such a crapshoot that literally anything can happen in a 5-game series and or a 7-game series. The Blue Jays you're right. They have a potent lineup and a clutch dude in George Springer, too. Alex Manoa might be the best pitcher in the American League, and I know we like to push Verlander. McClanahan's pretty good, too, but Manoa's in that conversation, so they have a legitimate horse and donkey at the top of that rotation, too. So I agree that the Blue Jays are a threat to the Astros. Look, I'm not sure I want to face Seattle if it's a 5-game series either. I know that you own them.
I think you've demoralized them already.
Probably.
You've sent enough messages they don't want to see you.
Is it out of the realm of possibility they beat you in a 5-game series in October? Absolutely
yes.
not. Anybody
it's out of the
can
realm of possibility. They will not beat the Astros in a 5-game series. In October.
I hope That's you're not going to happen. Remark that. July 29th, 2:55, Cody saying that. I'm scared of any playoff team when it comes to the postseason.
See, I think there should be no fear. There should be a level of anticipation that gets ramped up more than anybody else if it's the Yankees, but there should be no fear in any series.
Especially after Click goes and does something here at the deadline.
What if he doesn't?
Then that's a very bad job by him, and then it should be known that he made a mistake. It should be told to him that he made a mistake by the people that judge if he's doing good or bad at his job.
If we're talking on August 3rd and the Astros do nothing,
that's unacceptable.
Are the Astros Agreed. Still World Series contenders?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So you can make the case that if they're still World Series contenders and then they go on to win the World Series, doing nothing was actually the best move.
No, it just worked out.
Okay. So kind of like Dusty Baker's lineups where he's hitting on 17.
Here's what I would say. This is the same conversation. You reduce risk by making a move.
Yeah.
So you can still be successful without making a move, but you reduce risk by making a move.
I've said the same thing, but opposite. I'm saying that you can increase your odds of winning a World Series if you trade for Josh Bell, if you trade for Trey Mancini, if you trade for a donkey in the back end of your bullpen. Although there's not a whole lot of those that exist. But yeah, I'm kind of the same line of thinking. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse today?
Jim Bowden at 4 o'clock for Stros at 4, the former GM. And we'll talk with him about the trade deadline. Tons of talk about Texans training camp. Already a significant injury.
Significant Uh-oh. Injury happened significant. Out there today?
You'll hear it at 3:15.
Is he a member of the Houston Texans?
He is a member of the Houston Texans.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. You going tomorrow?
I'll be there every day.
So how often are they, I know it's daily, but how often are the media allowed there? Every day?
Every day.
And I know that they were allowed the whole day to watch practice today. Every single minute, every single snap of practice. Is that the case for the entire camp?
To my knowledge, yeah.
It's a good job by Nick Casario.
Pads go on Monday. 3 straight days of pads starting Monday.
Good job, Nick Casario. All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. Have a great weekend, Houston. We'll talk to you on Monday. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.